Well, sometimes it runs in cycles and sometimes it doesn't. Let's find out more from Tad Revelle, Chief Investment Officer of Fixed Income for TCW Group. Oh, yes, they just happened to manage about $88 billion. He joins us from Los Angeles. Tad, great to have you with us here on Bloomberg.
Likewise, great to be here.
All right, so cycles. Tell us your thoughts about using the whole concept of business cycles and the ups and downs and being able to predict the future based on the past.
Well, the concept, of course, is very simple, and I think most investors viscerally get the idea that in the early stages of a cycle, when the Fed is juicing the liquidity through the monetary mechanisms, lowering rates, that is typically a good time to be taking risk. Usually you see very nice returns in the equity market, good returns for bonds. Oftentimes it's a good time, generally speaking, for the overall economy. I think what's interesting, however, is that the way in which people think about the investing cycle and the business cycle is very antiquated. So for instance, when I was coming of age, which is now quite a long time ago, it was common to think of the business cycle in terms of an inventory cycle, that businesses produce too much stuff, then they have to lay off the assembly line workers, but a year or two later, everything is back to normal. But ask yourself the question, have we seen a cycle that looks or sounds that way in the last 40 years? We haven't. Another explanation for the cycle is that consumers get exuberant, they buy too much, it causes strains on the supply side of the economy, so you get inflation, the Fed pulls the punch bowl away, and that's why you have a recession, that's what makes the cycle turn. But that doesn't look like 2008, it doesn't look like the deleveraging of 2002, and it doesn't look like the deleveraging of 1998. So I think that there is a cleaner and more simple way to be thinking about the cycle that is not tied to the traditional, almost habituated ways of thinking that are handed to us by the Fed and by other policymakers.
So Tad Revelle, explain what the new business cycle looks like and is. Is it lasting? And what does it mean for the investment and market cycles?
Great questions. I think that the basic premise is simply this, is that rather than look at the real economy, rather than focus on questions, as I alluded to a moment ago, about employment or inventories, focus on the observation that the global economy has become thoroughly financialized over the course of the last generation. And as a result, a cycle is able to continue essentially so long as the capital markets are willing to support it, as long as the frontiers of credit are able to be extended, that more marginal borrowers can be brought, so to speak, into the system, you're able to maintain a condition of at least apparent stability and positive economic growth. Of course, at some point, you reach a limit in which it's not possible or the markets are not willing to continue to finance still more marginal borrowers, and you get a turn in the cycle. You get a capital market deleveraging, a rapid decline, possibly a severe decline in asset prices, as well as a turn in the business cycle. And so what am I referring to specifically? Is think about the experience of 1989, the failed buyout by management of United Airlines, of UAL. That's essentially what signaled to the market that you had reached the high water mark for credit in that cycle. And we've seen similar events in more recent cycles in 2008. Of course, most of these signals were housing related when we saw, for instance, the early payment default phenomenon with newly printed mortgages at the end of 2006.
So what does this then do to some extent to kind of the traditional theories that we've held then about fixed income investments? We've definitely been kind of turned on our head thanks to the crisis, thanks to the unprecedented move by global central banks, and particularly the U.S. Fed. So what does this do?
Well, it means that maybe I'm just slightly overstating the thesis here, but most of the things that are examined and studied are kind of irrelevant to the question about how late in the cycle you are. What you're really trying to assess is the solvency of the kinds and the kinds of credit that are being created. So, for instance, in the current environment, you start to see the junk bond market, the high-yield bond market, start to get stretched in a way that is similar to the way it was in, let's say, late 2006 and into 2007. In which the numbers of turns of leverage that were being put on securities as they were being issued into the market, as you look at the spread or the narrow risk premium that investors were willing to accept in exchange for underwriting the risk of these more highly leveraged businesses, those types of signals are what you're supposed to be focusing on, because they tell you the extent to which the credit cycle has become extended, become long in the tooth. And I think, by the way, when you look at the current cycle, what you're supposed to take away is that, well, it may not be extreme as in it looks like it's going to break any moment. It does look pretty well extended when you consider both the high yield market, maybe when you start to look at the amount of margin credit in the equity market, and maybe some of the conditions in the emerging market.
Ted Revell, Chief Investment Officer of Fixed Income for TCW Group, our thanks, helping to manage nearly $88 billion, joining us from Los Angeles.